T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ben provides a lot of experience for guys. You know, Mason has played for us before. Ben's seen a lot of things. He's learned from it, and he understands every situation you put him in. With younger quarterbacks and quarterbacks that we're not accustomed to, we have to give them short fields. You know, last time we played the Chargers, we had to go there, and we had Duck.
All right, that's Cam Hayward talking about playing without Ben Roethlisberger, which as of now still looks like that'll be the case Sunday night in L.A., getting Mason Rudolph building a plan. What did Giannotti say? Massage a plan?
Deep tissue massage? I believe at one point they were going to give the plan a full rectal exam.
Yes. Build the plan, work the plan, highlight the plan for Mason Rudolph. Did you see Cook's column after the game on Sunday was, and you losers and you idiots wanted the Steelers to move on from Big Ben?
Yes, I did see that column.
Yeah, that was a rhetorical question because Zeiss came into the studio pointing at the
bemused
headlines.
Bemused by the lead.
Yes, he was. Which wasn't one of those classic Cook columns where there were 4 or 5 one-sentence paragraphs.
Well, I always thought of that as a Rossi. Rossi, when I started out writing for the Beaver County Times almost a decade ago, Rossi's advice was be punchy, and he said don't shy away from like the one-sentence paragraph, until I talked to other people who were like, actually shy away from the one-sentence paragraph.
Oh, but yes, was that in the
was a big tool in Rossi's writing toolbox.
I didn't take any newspaper writing classes, so I'm not
none of it really stuck, I think.
What the experts and...
You know, my first news writing professor was the first editor-in-chief of USA Today, John Curley. True story.
He was at Penn State?
Yeah. His own thing there. He was the first.
How much money do you think he was making?
At Penn State?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was more of a, not a vanity job, but I want to teach job.
Ballpark it for me.
At least low 6 figures, low 100, I think. Just be teaching a news writing class? I would imagine. I also think he made his coin, his bread, though. He could have been working for cheaper than that. He liked me, though. Even though I repeatedly showed up to his 8 a.m. like 10 minutes late, he said, your work is sound.
And still drunk from the night before?
No, because I think it was usually after a Monday night, so I wouldn't drink on a Monday night or anything.
For football? You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't do that, no.
Look at you.
Yeah, but he was a fan.
Did you ask him for a letter of recommendation when you applied here?
No, God, no.
Could you have?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. I don't think I made like a big impression on any of the teachers.
I thought you said he loved you.
He liked my work.
Oh.
But it wasn't like, oh, Chris, you're the next Grantland Rice.
Gotcha. Well, you know the professors at Syracuse weren't very fond of me, so we don't have to go back.
You've made a million connections from being a very highly rated student, uh-huh, a second-half student, if you will, who rallied his final, 2.5 years there at the best broadcasting school in the nation. You don't have to soft pedal it. You don't have to slow play it. You made dozens and dozens of connections. You're one of the most well-connected people I know, and it's because of that Syracuse background.
So we're at the halfway point for the Steelers. Roethlisberger's numbers at the halfway point. He's probably not going to play on Sunday, barring some kind of medical miracle, because so far this NFL season, there's been no player who's come back from a positive COVID test with symptoms within 10 days. So Roethlisberger reported symptoms. He started feeling them Saturday morning. Do the math, that's 8 days. Highly doubtful, I would say, he gets out to L.A. in time to play in this game. So we're going to have to live with Mason Rudolph for another Sunday. And if the Steelers lose or tie, I wonder if Ron will just submit the same column again and just change, like, the Lions to the Chargers. And
just do a Control-F search for Detroit and for Lions and replace with Los Angeles and Chargers.
Yeah. this whole notion now, this is Jay Glazer from yesterday with McAfee, that because the Steelers are so deathly afraid and because they're so indebted and they're so loyal to Ben, that, as Glazer put it, I think the way he exactly said it was, it's up to Ben if he wants to play in 2022 with the Steelers. It's up to Ben, kind of like how it was with Drew Brees with the Saints. We're not going to push him out as long as he wants to go. The ball's in his court.
And what is meaningful to me there is not the analysis. It's who's providing it. Because as you have said numerous times, as is pretty clear with most people, Jay Glazer, if Stephen A. Smith is like a friend of Mike Tomlin and a Steelers fan who you're going to occasionally get very emotional analysis from because he's pissed that the
and
team's
was once
losing,
called upon to give a
halftime speech. But Jay Glazer in a more newsy, when Mike Tomlin has a message he wants to get out through the national media,
he goes to Glazer.
Glazer's his guy. So therefore, it is not unreasonable to believe that if Jay Glazer is suggesting that it will be Ben's call, a la Drew Brees. If he is saying that, then it's reasonable to believe that that is how Mike Tomlin views the situation.
I don't agree with that.
So is it Jay Glazer going rogue then?
No. Like, so when you say Mike Tomlin's view of the situation, do you mean that Tomlin shares that opinion that as long as Ben wants to play, he should be given that
opportunity? I think that's Mike Tomlin's analysis of the situation.
Yeah, I think there's a distinction and a difference between the two
things. No, I don't think Mike Tomlin necessarily thinks he should, but when Jay Glazer says it, it makes me think that Mike Tomlin believes that's how it will play out. Which means, but that doesn't absolve him, because he is a loud voice. What if the people who don't want Mike Tomlin to be the coach anymore say? They grouse and say he'll never get fired. It's not even worth anymore exploring that option. He has plenty of power. And if he believes that while that is the way it will be, that it should not be that way, that Ben shouldn't get to call his shot next year as to whether he plays or not, he can actually affect some change potentially. If he goes and bangs the desk in Art Rooney's office and says, we have got to move on from this guy, like we are wasting X, Y, or Z because we need somebody more dynamic. It's been a great run, but it's over. Art is probably going to be inclined to listen. If he goes into Kevin Colbert's office and they sit down man-to-man and he says, we need to swing a blockbuster trade, we need to go way out of bounds compared to where we usually are. Probably Art's involved in this too. We need to trade multiple firsts and try to get a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers in here. That carries weight. It's not just Mike Tomlin, well, guys, this is my opinion. You guys do what you want to do. He's the head freaking coach.
Yeah, it's not a you get the groceries, I'll try to make the best meal with what you give me.
He's not a wallflower. He's not a passive guy. He walked in here and blew them away in an interview to get the job in the first place. He's not going to sit idly by and say, well, this is my opinion, but very passive aggressively, you guys do what you want and I'll try to make the best out of it. No. If Mike Tomlin believes that Ben Roethlisberger should have played his last down whenever their last game of this season happens, he can go in there and say that, which is why Jay Glazer giving that kind of report makes me think Mike Tomlin will rubber stamp the idea of Ben getting to call the shot.
Well, because I think there's only one kind of alternative he likes more than Ben, and that is the veteran quarterback coming here.
Rodgers or Wilson.
Yeah, and not like a retread guy. I mean like a legitimately
there's two guys.
Hall of Fame caliber, changes the projection.
Guy who is overtly superior to
Ben.
Yeah,
and I think, to be honest with Tomlin, I think as long as Ben wants to play, he will honor that and give Ben the chance as long as he thinks Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and those guys are a pipe dream, because he will feel like the devil you know versus the devil you don't, and I believe he'll be too chicken to take a shot and take a chance on somebody else.
Well, then he would be staying with the quote-unquote devil you know. Right now, Ben has been better lately. He is a below-average passer by one metric this year, passer rating.
So Tomlin's role in all this, I don't think this situation would play out. If Ben went to the Steelers and said, I'm 40, I know, I think I had a pretty good year, I'm not going to charge you double, I'm going to come back and play for pretty much the same price, I want to be your starting quarterback again in 2022. I don't think Mike Tomlin would look him in the eye and say, you know, Ben, it's my call, thanks for the memories, I think I'd prefer to roll the dice with a first or second round quarterback. No, I don't think he...
For the same price, no, because it won't, because it'll be inherently coming back a lot cheaper with the cap going up.
But I just think he'll be like, I'd rather have Roethlisberger, and at least I know what I'm getting myself into, and, you know, he can
100%.
Still try to gut out games. I also think too, like, and I know that.
By the way, hold on. Let me make it clear. When I say Mike Tomlin's loyal that way, it's not in a complimentary way.
And I think sometimes what you think Tomlin probably gets more criticism than he deserves relative to Ben. But I think if you think he's criticized now, if they move on from Roethlisberger and the next quarterback they bring in here isn't very good, he's going to get crucified and killed even more. As long as it's Ben, there's at least the shield of, like, Roethlisberger gets criticized for hanging on too long. His owner gets called out for, like...
Do you think Tomlin's cognizant of that and understands that Ben could be a firewall at this point in his career for criticism, that there are enough people that are out on him as a big-time quarterback?
I think it's about risk management. I think it's about... You know,
you say that I feel Tomlin gets too much criticism relative to Ben, and I think that's fair. I think he deserves all of it if he is an active hand in keeping Ben around past this year.
Well, don't you think he was an active hand in keeping him for this year?
And I criticized the hell out of him.
So did I. And so I think if they do it again, I think there are a lot of Steelers fans who said, give him one more shot. They started 11-0, and then they pull up whatever his numbers were after 11 games and say, look at that. You know, he was having a great season. He was a dark horse MVP candidate. I don't think there will be the same understanding if the Steelers do that again.
No, I think there's a body of evidence.
Unless it's, well, you know, it was total fantasy to give up this draft bounty for these quarterbacks. And what are you saying, Pony? What are you saying, Chris, that you'd prefer Mason Rudolph as their quarterback? Like, that's the whole, their hands are tied. They were left no other option. Ben is still the best internal option for them, even at 39 or next year, 40 years old.
Somebody just posed this. If it's like Marcus Mariota or Ben next year, what would you want?
I would, and so it's just it's like Marcus Mariota, just, Mason Rudolph, and
Ben,
Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
That's your depth chart? Yeah. I don't want that. No.
What about Jimmy G as your number
one? No, I don't want that.
The problem for me is I am locked into the idea that I either want a first-round pick, even if it's in a weak crop and it's, you know, it's Pickett or Ritter or any of those guys. I either want a first-rounder, somebody that you actually spent the first-round pick on. You didn't just grade a guy a first-rounder.
Yep.
Or I want Rodgers or Wilson.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's – and we already eliminated Deshaun Watson from this discussion yesterday when we had it.
Just because there's too much hanging over him.
Way too much. I just don't want anywhere near that radioactive situation. So give me either one of two Super Bowl-winning veterans, preferably Wilson because he's younger, or give me the guy where you do a hard reboot here because you know that by drafting and playing a guy like that, you might get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields growing pains. Chances are – you are not going to find somebody who fits as well right away as Mac Jones has in New England, where they look like they're going to be a playoff team. My big problem, in a word, is that the Steelers have not, like, wanted to experience closure, or, to use a different word, true transition. They just continue to want to live in purgatory right now in the NFL.
So you've got the Mike Tomlin doesn't want a rookie quarterback, okay? And then you've got the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Well, this is just not what the Steelers do. That, have they changed some things, like T.J. Watt guaranteed money and trading a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick? Yes. But, like, making a blockbuster trade where you mortgage a ton of draft capital and give up young players for a quarterback in his 30s? You know, what, maybe they did that for Bobby Lane in, like, the 60s or something. I don't know how he got here, but, like, it would be just completely, like, anathema to what the Steelers have done up until this point to be a successful franchise. And even though they've evolved to their credit in some respects, there are just some Steelers insiders that think that that's a bridge too far.
But on what basis? Do you know why that frustrates me? It gets put out there.
It should.
And the statement itself is used as justification for the mindset.
But I'm laying it out this way because that is how Ben Roethlisberger comes back at 40 years old.
Do you think right now, not being able to predict whether his season craters or he kind of comes back and chugs along competently, league average?
You know what?
Do you feel comfortable predicting one way or another who their starter on week one is next year?
I'll say right now that I think as of this very second, Ben Roethlisberger will be their starting quarterback again next year. And the reason why I feel that way is because Tomlin is not a neutered coach. He's not a unit coach. He's not going to, like, I think, get, you know, Colbert and Rooney, they say, sorry, Mike, we're doing what's in the best interest of the franchise. 2-1. We're taking a quarterback in the first round if he doesn't want it. And then I don't think that they have the balls to go make an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson trade. So I think that's how you get stuck with Ben Roethlisberger if he wants to play.
Why wouldn't
for
he
another year?
Why wouldn't he want to play? Unless their offer to him was, we're going to rip up all these voidable years and give you something that you see as an insult.
And then I think if Ben decides, my body, I've just taken too much pain, I'm done, I'm over it, I think in that situation, the next most likely scenario would be, all right, Tomlin comes around and actually, like, starts to scout quarterbacks. And once he gets into the, you know, he gets his hand in the pile and gets into it and interviews
talks
these guys
somebody.
And goes to pro days, he talks himself into one of the quarterbacks.
He's never had to do
the
that.
First round.
He's never had to do that. Like, at that position.
You know what they do, though, with that? They, like, it's kind of like when you're married and you're flirting with somebody and you just want to see if you still have it. Like, you're not actually going to pull the trigger and do anything, but you just like.
No, I don't know what that would be like.
You've never heard of that?
No, I know what you're talking
about. And, like,
about.
I just I feel like they.
Hey, I still got it. She was interested in
let's
me.
Let's go talk to Justin Fields, and I'm going to personally scout his pro day. And, oh, we're going to bring in Patrick Mahomes for a
visit.
Well,
they did. I mean.
We're going to window shop.
I'll tell you what. It's always after the fact. Although I remember hearing it about Mahomes, like, before he got drafted. It is at least heartening to me that it seems like the guys they've been most interested in look like promising players. Or in Mahomes' this case, already a superstar-level player.
Jeff Howe, who is an NFL insider for The Athletic, who has over 100,000 followers, so he's not some complete sham guy.
But if he had 95,000, well, we'd revisit his credentials.
He wrote today that he thinks it's possible that Roethlisberger could say, I want back. The Steelers say, sorry, Ben, we're not taking you up on your offer. And Ben goes in place for another team next year, like the Packers, if they trade Aaron Rodgers
Saints. I think that would end up looking and being a much worse decision for Ben than the Steelers. I think he comes out of that looking real. I think
that's like Unitas level and
yeah. I just see very few situations where you like surround Ben with an elite enough team where he doesn't break down or not make the plays. Imagine he goes to the Packers and hey, we're getting a Super Bowl champion. We're getting a guy that's been there, done that. Look at him compared to Rodgers physically.
All right,
what they're capable of.
I got one more for you. If the only two options of the Steelers next year are either Mason Rudolph or Ben Roethlisberger,
in a heartbeat because Mason sucks.
And you
Mason just absolutely
sucks. And
you
think they realize that now?
Yeah. I mean, this is me. I got to formally go back on something. I mean, I said I never want to see Ben play another game after the Packers loss because he looked so feeble. Probably in the heat of the moment, shouldn't have said it because it's something that can easily come back on me. After watching Mason Rudolph for one game, it was just so blatantly obvious that he's not the guy. Like, I think the only reason I would have held out hope that he was interesting was because of Week 17 last year. Dude, it was the Lions. I don't care if the game plan didn't get adjusted in time or what. You're playing, like, the closest thing in the NFL to a walkover game, and you look completely lost outside of the first series script.
I think that they have already admitted as much that their opinion of him changed after that game because they still threw it 50 times, and it's not like only overtime. No, they had more passes in the first half than runs. So they trusted him to do that. They trusted him with no change in the game plan to go out there and win him the game, and he couldn't do it. And Tomlin Tuesday said, now we got to make a whole new game plan for Mason Rudolph. So they've all but admitted that, like, their view on it. Now, I don't know how much it's like, I don't know if it fell off a cliff.
Like, if he goes out and plays well against the Chargers with quote-unquote his game plan, I wonder, do they get right back on board?
That's a great question.
The thing about answering...
Well, I'll answer that, probably.
I know. The thing about answering
Ben... Because
they
want to believe
he's
good.
Well, they want to be right. They want to be right.
Yep.
The thing about answering Ben and the Ben and Mason thing is, man, I say it quickly and decisively, but I say it with, like, such fundamental underlying disdain. Because to me, you're just guaranteeing another mess of a season. Burrow's going to be a year better. The Ravens still aren't. They're not going to be as banged up as they were this year. There's always the chance Cleveland, as much as it seems unlikely, gets their act together and makes some sort of decision. the league's not going to wait around for you to have yet another year in quarterback purgatory.
Well, the worst case scenario for me is that the Browns have an epiphany and say, we got to get Baker out of here. Why don't we go out and get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? And that would freak me out if that happened.
If the Browns go get Russell Wilson and still can keep that running game in line around him when his biggest complaints have been, my line is never good enough to protect me, they become terrified.
But I think they might be stubborn as mules about Baker.
Oh,
Mayfield.
I think their behavior with Mayfield is embarrassing this year. It's a bunch of smart people. I think it's a smarter franchise, a more forward-thinking one than the Steelers, and yet the Mayfield situation challenges all that.
20 minutes. We'll pick games against the spread. We do them on Thursday because Thursday night football is a huge deal. We get a head start on the week before any other sports talk show makes picks. We do. And we've been excellent lately, all three of us, Craig included. Craig has again sent in a proxy now that he's missing today's show. He was on a boss conference call with bosses from around
brand managers. The
country.
That's what we call the bosses now in our business.
So
hold on a second. I have a question about this.
Please.
I have yet to pay off my shame bet from losing it, what, two times ago?
Yeah.
Craig is one shame bet in the hole that we've already established. We can't say what mine is because it's kind of an inside baseball joke between the three of us. Craig's is that he has to do the Waffle House
challenge. I think he's got to do it before
he takes over.
Yep, and I have a plan with that.
But
actually,
we also have to have me do mine. Here's the last question.
Yep.
There is another shame bet on the line for whoever loses this year.
Mm-hmm.
If Craig loses,
yep,
and he's on a hot streak, so that seems unlikelier by the day. But if he does lose, do we really have the power to make our boss do something shameful?
I think we got to pick something that's not as
shameful but dignified at the same time.
Yeah, we don't want to embarrass our boss and have him hold a grudge against us.
But we're his friends, and we were his friends long before we became his subordinates.
So,
maybe just go get him good and drunk and make him work hungover.
So I actually had an idea. So he has to pay off the waffle bet, the Waffle House bet soon.
Yes.
I live down the street from one.
Correct. That was my whole thought.
So I was thinking if we took him out or something, he could just stay over and then we could just make him do it the next day.
Great point. When does my bet get paid off? That's the one
everyone. Question.
That's the one a lot of inquiring minds, myself included, would like to know.
All right. The best of butts. If you love butts, then you are going to really enjoy this segment. Keith Butler, Steelers defensive coordinator, affectionately called Butts.
When a man walks in with a weather-beaten face in some defense at his place, I don't know.
He gets dead gummit. Here he is after his defense hemorrhaged yards on the ground against the Lions and now facing the prospect of playing without T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Joe Hayden against the Chargers. Hit it, Harry.
You have a whole week here to prepare to potentially not have Minkah and TJ this week. Your game plan has to change a little bit, though, based on who you don't have and what you're going to ask those guys to do.
No, you're not off track, but I'm not going to tell you what we're doing. They're two of your best players that you got. Of course you do. Hopefully the guys will step up, and they understand how good of players those guys are. So we're just going to have to, you know, give it our best shot. We all can work with our tackling. Our tackle was terrible. The last football game. So we missed a lot of tackles in the last football game. I know nobody's brought that up, but, you know, that to me as a former linebacker, I hate that. We didn't tackle as good as we could. So no matter who's in there, we got to do better than we did because that probably made us tie the football game right there. I mean, we got to win football games when we get a chance to. And a lot of that is tackling. Are we sure about these guys that are coming in and stuff like that? We've seen them play before a little bit. Are we going to be good enough? We don't know that until we play. We'll find that out when we play.
With a slew of really good quarterbacks coming up here over the last 8 weeks, do you expect maybe a shift in what you see more often with teams focusing on the pass more likely over the last half of your games?
Well, a lot of people think that the league is going to the pass right now based off their quarterback, who's back there and stuff like that. But you still have what I call old school guys that like to run football, like the last one we played. They tried to keep, you know, their quarterback under wraps a little bit so we couldn't get to him. So they ran the ball quite a bit. They ran the ball on third down. Are these guys going to run the ball on third down? I doubt very seriously with that quarterback they got because he's a good player for them. You call people around the league and kind of find out. If you know some people around the league, you kind of find out what they saw in playing different people. I think they'll try to run the football, but not as much as Detroit did, for sure, because they got a good quarterback. Why not use them? You get certain situations and people start running the ball a little bit more, and then they say, oh, it's the passing league. It goes back and forth, and we got to be able to adjust sometimes in-game.
Last time Carl Joseph was called up from the practice squad, I think he played like 2 defensive snaps. Do you guys have enough trust in him yet?
Man, we got some unknowns, you know what I mean? And we're going to have some unknowns coming into this game. Do we like what we see in practice? A lot of times we do, yes. But, you know, what happens in practice, what happens in the game, sometimes it's totally different. How do people perform under pressure? That's what the whole NFL is about. If you can perform under pressure, then you're going to have a job. If you can't, you're not. Simple as that.
What have you seen?
Stop it right there for a second. Joseph is a former first-round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of these guys that's gotten stashed on practice squads with expanded practice squads.
Yep.
I hear a lot of this, and I can't help but like wonder and think about, Chris, how Butler's role is like so ambiguous with the Steelers right now. So he's, you know, obviously so hacked off about how they couldn't tackle. You know, he gets asked about a guy that was a big-time pick, and, you know, if he can find a way to play in a defense, and how do you make things work without Watt and Minka?
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you think about it, these are more questions for Mike Tomlin.
Certainly a Carl Joseph question is, because Tomlin was a big fan of Carl Joseph coming out of school.
But just like, at least when you talk to Matt Canada, and Colin, he did, and he's going to join us in an hour, at least when you talk to Canada, you think, this guy, no matter how little he's going to give me, he might, you know, say nothing. He'll talk for 30 seconds and give a bland answer.
He's the guy who's actually calling the offense.
Yeah. With Butler, like, aren't we all under the impression right now that Mike Tomlin is really the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, when I hear people ask Keith Butler questions, at least to some degree, and I think most of those people, just like us, are under the same impression you just said, that Tomlin runs the show. Because Tomlin, three games ago against the Browns, he was happy to say he was running the show. Okay, I think people ask Butler the questions knowing that they only have a limited amount of time to talk to Mike Tomlin. So, Keith Butler's the closest you're going to get to the top of that mountain.
I think you'll get this analogy. When I hear Butler talking about how irritated he was by the tackling and how much you could just tell he's almost hyperventilating when he says that he's still so angry days later about how
he was a tough guy who played a tough guy position.
You know how Joe Paterno coached, but he didn't have a headset on?
Correct.
And he was like, he was there, and he was kind of more of a...
You knew he made like a big decision to go or to kick on a fourth down or something. You did know he would talk to somebody and tell him what to do.
But for the most part, he was kind of a figurehead and just let his coordinators do what they wanted to do.
Yeah, Bobby Bowden was another.
Yeah,
late
that's
in his
a good
career
one.
That way,
I,
yes.
I just wonder, like, when Butler talks about guys who should be playing and what kind of defense they should be in, and, you know, stopping the run versus
the nitty gritty stuff.
I just how much
agency does
yes.
he have? Great question.
And is he just taking?
You know what I did see in that game though that made me at one point in that Lions game what made me wonder if maybe he and Tom there was a little shot when something good happened for them on defense, whatever it might have been, where he and Tomlin were, like, exchanging, like, the nice little smirking high five because it made me feel like they had planned it together.
I really think if Butler were left to his own devices and he had more, if he had the same kind of control over the offense that Canada does, I bet Spillane's in there right now playing more.
I knew that you were going to say that. Yeah,
because Butler's already let it slip that he thinks Spillane does things better than Bush. He's already said it. He already slipped up in
Butler, and the one thing we know is, or at least not in, Butler is not involved in the drafting of players in any way, other than maybe like casual conversation. That is a Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert thing.
And the scouts and stuff that they pay to watch college football.
My point is, like, a coordinator might get asked about a certain guy, but he's not going to be in there necessarily pounding the table,
yeah.
I would think.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, Arians like to take credit for the Steelers taking Antonio Brown in the 6th round.
Okay, so maybe here and there. But Keith Butler, my point is, does not have near the attachment to a guy like Devin Bush that the people who drafted Devin Bush.
He just wants the best players out there.
He knows that nominally, by being the defensive coordinator, their failings or successes will come back to him. Even if there's a lot of scuttlebutt in town, I know we love that word on this show, that Mike Tomlin actually calls the defense. If you're the defensive coordinator, I'll use this example. If you're the DC, you still have that put on your plate. We also know, we said Matt Canada calls the offense. We know that's particularly true when Mason Rudolph's the quarterback because there's no pushback. Even when there's debate about did Ben draw it up in the dirt, did Ben not go rogue but go his own way with an RPO, we know the coordinator is going to get blamed for it if it goes poorly. So none of these guys want to have that on their plate because they know that even if they're a figurehead, they're still going to get blamed in some corners.
Yeah, I would be annoyed if I'd be annoyed if I'm Keith Butler that when the Steelers have a great defensive performance like they do against the Browns, Tomlin gets the credit, but when they're bad, he kind of gets mocked for being down home and dead gummit.
Yeah,
and
I do think, to be fair, I do think that in this particular city, when they play very poorly on defense, Tomlin does get plenty of crap for it. Because I do think he's running it, but I think it's because also there is a subset of the fan base that wants to blame Tomlin for quite literally everything that happens, which to some degree is fair. He's the head coach. He should get the credit when things go well and the blame when they don't. But I think that on this defense, for as many people as you might say are like, oh, look at Keith Butler, these simple schemes, this guy down home, all that stuff, Tomlin gets a lot of it too. I think the truest thing you said there is Keith Butler, tough guy, wants his defense to have that ethos and would have Spillane in there for more plays. And theoretically, he and Jerry Olsavsky would have some say in that if you say the position coach gets to determine who's getting some reps at times.
Yep.
They would have that say. And they would be able to tell Mike Tomlin, hey, 55 there, see him? He doesn't do anything.
It's time to make picks. Craig, our boss, blew us off today to do boss things. So instead we have Harry Callis sitting in. He will make the picks for us on Craig's behalf. Harry has taken 93.7 The Fan by storm. He's a high riser in this business. He's an aspiring play-by-play guy who has done some impromptu calls on the air for us during the baseball playoffs.
Have gone over hugely with our listeners.
And
they love it.
I've heard from a couple of people that work behind the scenes in radio that have heard him and said, I really think this guy has got a shot here to be a very good radio play-by-play guy.
He's got the chops, the energy.
And the bloodlines. Well, at least the last name. He's not related to
Harry
Callis.
I mean, you know, you
could
be marked for greatness, though. Like, if, you know, last name was Michaels, you could be like Al.
Yeah.
Or Sean.
Well, it's kind of like
kick people.
Yeah. It's kind of like Chris Muller, Chris Mueller.
So
same name, but no relation, both in Pittsburgh sports media.
Yeah, but if we were
Harry
going
Callis,
by
Harry Callis, no relation.
Yeah, but if we were going by my last name, I should be playing either, like, mid-level professional soccer or minor league hockey.
Because of the other Chris Mullers?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out
there. And they say Chris Muller or Mueller?
I think it goes all over. You know what else I could be last name? Robert Muller. He's the only one I know for a fact says it the way we do.
All right, what are the standings right now?
Well, we've got a changing of the guard at the top, and it pains me to say this.
Okay.
With 49 points, two clear of me, Andrew T. Filippone.
Okay.
Craig Riley, I'm at 47, you're at 49. Craig Riley still bringing up the rear, our boss, at 46. You had 5 last week, Craig had 3, I had 2. It was a tough week for everybody but you.
What's the first game?
First game of the week. We've got Green Bay, 1.5-point favorites despite being the visitor as they travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
I like the Vikings in this game because one of the things I think the public bettors do is they have a hard time getting over that Vikings lost at home to Cooper Rush and the Cowboys.
Mm.
And all their games are close. All their games seem to be against good teams. And the Cousins-Rodgers quarterback matchup has not been a mismatch since Cousins got to Minnesota. I think they played 6 times, and the Packers have only won 3 of those games. So I'm going to take Minnesota at home. I think they'll split the season series, and the Vikings will win this game.
Andrew, you love Football Outsiders. You love their look. I know this. You buy the almanac every year. Now I do, too, because I'm a big copycat and a follower.
Okay.
They have a very advanced analytical way of looking at the NFL. I'm not going to belabor the point of what that is. They are of the belief at Football Outsiders right now that the Green Bay Packers are a bit of a fraud at 8-2, that they are not as good as their record, that some of the numbers don't support them being great. What do you think the Packers' offense ranks in the NFL in points per game?
9th?
19th.
Oh, wow.
Right now. Third-ranked defense, so that's really good.
Well, they had the Jordan Love game, though.
Still, that's one out of 10 games.
Okay.
I like the Vikings. I think they might be the better team, at least for one game, certainly. But I think that they are trending in the right direction, and I just wonder if Green Bay is too much like 2019 Green Bay. Remember what happened to them when they got to the playoffs? Got absolutely boat raced.
Here is what Craig thinks is going to happen in this game by way of the Harry Callis Radio Network.
Well, the Packers just got a first down. They're in Vikings territory. Ball spotted on the Vikings 42, but they've got to hurry. Scores 31-21. Less than a minute left in regulation. Rodgers steps back, throws near side, passes intercepted by Mackenzie Alexander at the Vikings 35, and he'll get down around the Vikings 37. It's first and 10 for the Vikings, but this game pretty much over. 31-21 Vikings. Craig has the Vikings win plus 1.5.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
A clean sweep, though.
I know.
Is it a Pony and Muller jinx?
I don't love that. I do not love the clean sweep.
The Lions are taking on your Browns, Cleveland minus 11.5.
This is tough. Well, here's another thing I think bettors do sometimes, the casual bettor, and I've tried to like actually get away from doing it myself because I'm way more casual than I am like a pro at this.
Of course, we all are.
Yeah, I think people overvalue the previous week's result, whether it's good or bad.
Recency bias.
It's recency bias. It's also, you know what it is? Well, the Lions played the Steelers so tough and ran the crap out of the ball. They can do that against Cleveland. The Browns are a mess. That was a one-off for the Lions, in my opinion. The Steelers were uniquely bad. I know that the Browns' situation with Mayfield is a mess, and I've called it a mess. But I think they are going to run all over Detroit and win this game going away. I've got the Browns, and I will lay 11.5 points here.
Let's give a live listen to the Harry Callis Radio Network's call of Lions-Browns.
Well, the Lions could not get it done. They turned the ball over on downs. Now the Browns have it. Less than 30 seconds left in regulation, and the Browns are just going to take a knee. It's victory formation. The Browns, Baker Mayfield takes the knee, and that'll pretty much do it. Final score, Cleveland 27 and Detroit 13. Craig has this okay. Minus 11.5. This is his zig when they zag pick of the week.
Guess what? This is really scary.
A clean sweep.
I'm taking the Browns too, man.
I knew it.
This might be David Blau at quarterback for Detroit, which actually could be an upgrade.
I think they're more of a live team if it's Blau.
But I don't know. I watched him in the preseason against the Steelers and thought
he sucked. Dude, Goff can't throw.
Neither can this guy.
I understand that, but Goff can't do anything.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns minus 11.5.
Oh,
all right.
What's happening here?
I don't know. I think we're all afraid to go against our boss. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Fresh inventory arriving daily. Temperatures in the high 40s. Coming up next on the show, Mediocre Mason brings out the worst in people. You're going to hear something that is going to nice people, generally speaking, very kind, nice people, get into a drag-it-out argument over Mediocre Mason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.